Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good morning, everyone, to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is what the Bible teaches about arrogance and ignorance. I'm going to go to two chapters, and then, I don't know, quite a few verses, but anyways, my main two chapters will be 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you'll find that while we're waiting, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to come back, and we'll do prayers as always. I always play a song before we get going so everybody can find their place. Find your place at 2 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll be back in a minute. Actually, 2 minutes, folks. That was by the Billy Graham British Crusade Choir. It was done, quite some time ago. But anyways, those choirs were around from 1954 to 1991. But anyways, folks, this morning's message, like I said, is going to be on arrogance and ignorance and what the Bible says about it. But before we get started in that, I do want to go to the prayer request that we have. Let me just get everything straightened out here. There we go. Okay, our prayer request this morning, my wife's friend Liz, her mom, did pass away on Friday. She's the one that was putting the thrive up in the Freeport nursing home here in Maine a week ago or so. Her mom went home to be with the Lord. So please pray for Liz and her family, the grandkids and the rest of them, because they lost their mom, their grandmom, and, you know, death's a difficult thing, folks, especially for those that are unsaved. But as far as I know, Liz's mother knew the Lord, but I can't say for sure. But let's pray for the family. Dorothy Meyer is her mayor, is in the hospital down in Connecticut, COPD, and she's got pneumonia in her lungs, so she's got an infection. I spoke to her the last few days. She's struggling with the medications and things that they're giving her, but please pray for Dorothy. Hopefully she'll get better within the day so she can go home maybe tomorrow. Terry Williams, her father's purchasing a home. She's asking for prayers for that everything goes well. Darla Wright Shackford is asking for prayer for her grandson, Ethan. He's been having bouts with vomiting the last few nights. Been going on for 3 weeks now. So please pray for little Ethan. Sandy Washer sent in a prayer request, or several actually. Pray for Al. He's in the hospital undergoing many surgeries. Mary T., as she was just diagnosed with cancer. and leaving to head to VA, to the VA, or to Virginia, rather, I'm sorry, to be with her daughter. Michael R., with a heart condition, looking into options of treatment. Please pray for them. Julie Hammond Gardy has an unspoken request also. So please pray for Judy Gardy. And then the families, all those involved in the shooting down in Florida, I'm sure that's going to be a big deal today for them, going to church or trying to go to church and trying to seek God and knowing what happened and knowing how to deal with that. A lot of people will, they kind of turn against God when things like this happen. So I'm hoping that they won't, that they'll lean more towards God rather than pull away from him. And then, of course, let's pray for our government, our president, those involved in the government, because obviously we have a lot of economic situations going on, a lot of scandals going on. It never surprises me how much stuff comes out of politics, folks. But please pray for all of these people, those with the family issues, the unspokens, the House, those in Florida and our government. Father, we just thank you for all that you provide for us, an opportunity to share your gospel. And for these families, Lord, we just ask that you watch over and keep them safe and help them pull closer to you, Lord. When troubles come, we shouldn't pull away. We should seek you even harder. That's how it should go. We know that doesn't always work that way because many of us think that if there is a God, that why would he do this to us? And there's a reason. I know it, and you know it, Lord, and you know my heart, and you know the people that are with me and stand behind me on that. Thank you, folks, for coming out. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now, arrogance and ignorance, folks. You start to think, well, what's coming out of preacher's mouth this morning with arrogance and ignorance? Ignorant is lacking knowledge or the awareness in general. Uneducated or unsophisticated, unlearned, unread, uninformed, unenlightened. Okay? That's what that means. It means you just don't have the knowledge. You're not aware. You don't have the proper education or nobody's ever taught you. Okay? Arrogant is having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities, which is haughty or conceited. And we all know that the Bible says that a haughty spirit cometh a fall. In other words, you get all puffed up just before you're going to be attacked. And that's the way it is. And you have to be careful with your arrogance that you don't end up falling because you think you're somebody you're not. You know, you may get puffed up in the head, but as we go through this morning, I'm hoping I can get the message across to you. You know, let's think of it this way. There are people that go on in their life, right? And I'm one of them. For the longest time, I didn't want to hear about God. I didn't want to know the Lord. I could care less. I had my own concept. In fact, I've said to many people, if there's a God, then he must be up there riding around with the UFOs because, let's face it, folks, if there's UFOs up there and we don't know who they are, we don't even know who the God is, what are we doing down here? We must be rejects from a super planet. That's what I told one group of people that came to see me one time. Must have knocked them off of their feet because I could tell by the way they were standing there holding those briefs they had in their hand, the little pamphlets, that they just didn't know what to say to me. And then they did, finally I did send them on their way. But you know, God knows our hearts. This is the amazing thing. God knows our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Nothing we do, nothing, even the bad, is able to escape God's paying attention to. Or do we actually think that we can get away with committing those sins? Let's look at something here. Let's look at Psalms 139:2. It says this. In Psalms, and I was just reading this yesterday, you should look these up, folks. And Psalms is in the Old Testament, and it starts with the letter P, not an S, okay? Psalms 139:2 says, Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You see, God knows when we're going to sit down. He knows we're going to stand up. He knows when we're moving about. There's nothing we can't do that God doesn't know. There is absolutely nothing. I know people say, you know, because it's been said to me too. They've said, how do you even know that, right? Well, I know it because I went and read it in the Bible. God's the great creator. He created heaven and earth. He created man. He created the animals. And because he did all that, he's paid attention to us. Just like with Adam and Eve in the garden. They thought they were going to get away with Eve eating a piece of fruit and then sharing it with Adam, and it's no big deal. But if you go read the story, God come and asked where they were hiding in the bushes, naked as a jaybird. And God finally had to make them close and help them how to do that. Because, see, man didn't know any of that sin about looking at each other's eyes with, and then looking at their bodies, rather, and then lusting after one another. And God knew that was going to come. So he decided he would give them sheep's clothing and give them something to wear. Picture this, folks. Here's another thought. Picture your life, right? Somebody takes a video of it from day one to the end, right, all the way through. Then at some point you get to judgment seat and you meet the Lord, and the Lord's asking you questions, and he said, do you remember when you did this? I'm curious. What made you do that? Or what made you think that you could do that and I would not know it? And you say to the Lord, you say something like this. You say, I don't really know. I wasn't really thinking. I just did it. He says, all right, well, let's do this. Let's replay the video. I'm going to back up to that time, and then I want you to watch it with me and tell me what you were thinking. And he says, you know, he plays it back, and still you're sitting there and you go, well, I don't think I was thinking anything. I think I just did it. He says, really? Because I can see in your mind, and I know you thought this out. You see, no sin goes without being thought. There's the arrogance. There's our arrogance, right? Our arrogance thinks, well, we just do whatever we want and not have to worry about it. And there's where we get caught, folks, because we do know right from wrong. We're not an animal. Am I right? I mean, most of us, and I mean this, most of us have a sincere heart and a sincere conscience. We would never want to do anything to hurt anyone. So why would we want to do something that's going to hurt ourselves? That's going to affect us eventually. And we're going to pay for that sin, folks. I saw a post this morning from a friend of mine online, and I'm not online to be there to see anything, but this post struck me. It said, in the Bible, it says all sin is the same, so murder must be the same as any other sin, right? And yes, it is, because I don't care, and I wrote this, even if you take a paperclip from work, it's stealing. And you had to think about it. I need this paperclip, so I'm just going to take it. Nobody will, they're not going to miss it. It's just a paperclip. That's the same as if you went out and shot 17 children in a school. A sin is a sin, folks. Whether you sleep with a woman and you're married, or a man and you're married outside of your marriage, that's still a sin, the same as the person that took the paperclip. It's arrogance, and it's ignorant to believe that you can get away with it if you don't know what that sin is by not looking them up in the Bible. And then there's those that say, well, if I don't look them up, I don't have to answer to them, right? Really? So you know to do right, you know what's wrong, and you're just going to do it anyways. There's the arrogant part, folks. Now I want to go back, and I want to go back to 2 Timothy, and I want to read what it says in 2 Timothy. Where's my notes? Good grief. There we go. 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26. It says this. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Now, this unlearned part is what I told you before when I said to you there's a portion where you have to be responsible of yourself and know what arrogance and ignorance really are, all right? Now, unlearned, what did I tell you that was? That was being ignorant, was it not? If we look back here, I said ignorance, the lack of knowledge, awareness, uneducated, unsophisticated, unlearned, and it says here in verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned, so you're being ignorant, and avoid ignorant questions, it says. You see, sometimes people put things before us like, well, if there is a God, isn't that kind of ignorant? Well, if there is a God, why don't you go read your Bible and find out if there's a God? Why are you bothering me with that, other than to trouble me with it? They try to cause all kinds of strife, and that's just what it says, knowing that they do what? Gender strifes. They bring about arguments. They bring about conversations that are wasted time. And the servant of the Lord must not strive or strife or be involved in strife, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. That means when them questions come up, if there is a God, well, let me show you where there's a God. Are you willing to sit with me and read the scriptures? Are you willing to study with me so you can understand that there's really a God? So you are not an ignorant person. And then don't make me ignorant because I try to point it out to you. It says here in 25, in meekness, which means gentleness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and then it says in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil. who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, because you say these things like if there is a God or I don't have to worry about it, I'm not a Christian anyways, I'm going to hell, so what's the big deal? Well, that's because you've been ensnared or captured by the devil to believe things against the will of God, and then you're going along with the will of the devil. And I've had people say to me, how can you sit there and tell me that I'm following the devil? It says it right here in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves. That means you can, if I teach you the right things from Scripture and show you with a good heart, that you'll want to learn those things, and you'll get out of the devil's grip, and you'll walk away from him, and you'll no longer be ignorant. Because now you're learned. Now you have an education within the Scriptures. Okay? Now let's go on to over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I was on 13, I believe. Let me find my notes again. Where did I go with that? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, yes, 4 through 7. Charity, which is love, suffereth long. That means if you love somebody, you put up with a lot. And is kind. And you continue to be kind because you're going to suffer long. Why? Not for you, but for God. Charity envieth not. That means we don't envy. And it says charity vaunteth not itself, which means it doesn't get puffed up. And it says that here at the end of the verse. It says is not puffed up, which is not arrogant. Okay? We don't go around going, I know more than you, or I'm better than you, or I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. Now, that's just plain arrogance. But I will say this, if the person doesn't know God, if they have not repented of their sins, if they won't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm not being arrogant. I'm pointing out to you your ignorance for not learning the truth, and that, therefore, I'm not the arrogant one. You understand? You're telling me you already know because you're so smart that you're going to go to hell because what difference does it matter anyways? I don't have to do anything. I've already committed sins. God don't want me. And God doesn't say that. God said he loves everyone, and he wants you to turn from your sin. And he says in verse 3, it says charity, charity suffereth long. You see, God sits there patiently waiting for you to change. And then verse 5, it says, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That means we don't get angry that easy. Thinking no evil. That means I don't sit there going, well, then just go to hell. And I'll act arrogant to you. That's not what it means. God says you don't do that if you love. If you have love for somebody, you try to teach them the best you can, as much as you can. And yes, in Scripture it says sometimes you have to brush the dirt from your feet and walk away. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, which means we don't sit there and get all happy about their sins, but rejoice in the truth. That means we rejoice or praise God, and because we know the truth, we're happy for that, not happy for the sins. Beareth all things, it says love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and those are the things of Scripture that we hope, and those are the things that we believe, which are written in Scripture, which gives us the faith of Jesus Christ, which helps us to understand how we're no longer going to be ignorant because we're going to learn from the Scriptures, and how we get away from arrogancy is by not being puffed up, but go, you know what, let's go research that. I don't know everything. I know for a fact that God has even said to me in my heart more than once and in my mind, you may know this, but I know even more. In other words, I may know the whole Bible, but God says, you know what? Because I'm God, I know even more. He's the ultimate. He's the Almighty. He's our loving Father. He'll take care of us if we let him. He'll heal us. He'll save us. But we have to be the ones that are willing to do that. You know, if we look at Hebrews 4:13, and I'm going to go there. You don't have to if you don't want to. I'm going to go there. That's just what I want to do. So I want to read something to you. But if you go to Hebrews 4:13 with me, then we'll read it together. Let me find that spot. Here we go. Hebrews 4:13 says this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, that's God's, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him, God, with whom we have to do. You see, when we have to do with God, his eyes are open to us. He never turns his eyes away from us. He turns his eyes away from the ones that want to continue to live in sin. Because he says, I don't want to see it. And I don't know you. You're not mine. You're only mine when you turn from your sin and stop doing those things and start living right. And then you get blessed or washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, because it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us from all of our sins. And then we don't continue to do that. That would be arrogant. We wouldn't say, oh, yeah, now I'm going to go to heaven, so now I can continue my sin and use my Christianity as a cloak, which we can't do, folks. We all know that. But it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All of us are man. That means all of us, every creature, every human, every animal, every ant, every insect, God can see what's going on. So if he knows all that, and he knows your heart, he knows you're sitting down and you're standing up, he knows when you're going to lie, he knows that you're lying, he knows when you're standing there and going to be a blasphemer, he knows all those things. He also knows in your heart that you want to go to heaven, even when you deny it, because of your arrogance. And then in the book of Jude, this is interesting, folks. There's some stuff here you got to see, and I found this just by stumbling across it, right? I happened to look something up, and in the book of Jude, which is the last book before Revelations, and there's no chapters, they're just verses, okay? But I was going to read to you verse 22 and 23, so I'm going to do that so I don't lose time, because we don't have a lot. As always, we're short. 22 and 23 says this, and of some have compassion. Make a difference. Be different in their life, it's saying. It says here, make a difference. Have compassion for the enemies of yours. Have compassion for those that don't really know the scriptures. Verse 23. And others, save with fear. Be afraid for them, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You see, the Holy Ghost tells us to witness. The Holy Ghost tells us when there's sin in our life. And he also says, listen, I can help you if you'll be willing. You can turn from your wicked ways and you can go to heaven. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care if you were Charles Manson himself. You see, God can change the heart of the most wicked person. If he can change the heart of Saul, and he was a wicked man, he brought people to the king to be slaughtered, to be thrown in the lion's den. And he sat back. He probably, we don't know it because it doesn't talk about how what he saw. But can you imagine a man taking someone to his captors and then going, okay, I got to get out of here. I don't want to see what you do to him. I'm just doing this as a job. Now, he's helping out. He's still carrying out part of his sin. But how many of them did he actually witness? Can you imagine how hard that made his heart until the Lord on the road to Damascus had blinded him for a couple of days, had blinded him, struck him so hard and knocked him to his knees, and he didn't hit him. This was all Holy Spirit stuff. This was stuff that just, boom, like a person gets a heart attack. Okay? He landed on his knees. He was sightless. But the people with him, and he wasn't alone, heard the voice of the Lord but saw no one. And you know, Paul was blind and he saw no one. They had their eyes open and they didn't see anything. Now, Paul was on his knees and the Lord said to him, Paul, or Saul rather, he said, I don't want you to do this no more. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you killing my people? Why are you taking my people captive to be slaughtered? You see, the Lord can do that to even the most vilest, wickedest person. And it's arrogance to think that he can't. It's ignorant to not believe the scriptures. So then I ask you, are you ignorant? Are you arrogant? Are you one of the ones that gets all puffed up and thinks they know everything? I've been around some Christians that do. I really do. I've been around some people that are leaders. You see, it says here, we see arrogance and ignorance all around us. But do we really know how to contend with it, deal with it, or handle these situations? In today's message, I hope that I've given you some insight on how to do that, how to be a better person, how to help, and how to do so with greater understanding and love and compassion for those that don't know. It says in the Bible to do that. If, like I said, if we look at Job, it says, I mean Jude rather, it says, false teachers described, talks about in verse 8, likewise all these filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil with dignities. But these speak equal, it says, but these speak evil of those things which they, this verse 10, which they know not, but see, they don't even know, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and then those things they corrupt themselves. You believe all those things, and then because you don't want to bother to understand the Bible, you go about doing whatever and causing all this strife and bringing up fake things, false teachings. It says, yet Michael, in verse 9, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dost not bring himself, bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, he said to the devil. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We should rebuke the sin. We should, when these ignorant and arrogant conversations come up, say, listen, those are conversations that we can't back up. They're not written in Scripture. And if they are, let's go through them and let's research them. Otherwise, if they're from the devil, if there's someone trying to do that, trying to mock the Lord, then you rebuke them in the name of the Lord. These are spots in your feasts of love when they feast with you. This is verse 12. Feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, they withereth rather without fruit, their trees, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars. Then it says here in verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to conceive all, but this is by the Lord. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, it says in verse 14 of Jude, to execute judgment to those that are against him and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. You see, you got to read this stuff, folks. In order to understand Scripture, you got to study it and you got to understand it and cross-reference the verses to find the truth so that you're not ignorant. You're not an arrogant person. And most of us aren't, folks. I'm trying to be nice, but I've ran into some people that, man, they are arrogant. Yeah, they're ignorant. Yeah, they tell me things that, you know, oh, you're a phony. You're a hypocrite. Well, that's great. Go ahead, believe that. But show me in Scripture where I am. And if you can't do that, then please close your mouth and go away. You have to understand, folks, I don't have to be mean to them. And neither do you. But I give you the word. Don't be mad at me when I share the truth with you. I have one more song for you, folks. It's What a Mighty God We Serve. And I want you to hear that before I close out. We only got a couple of minutes left, and I want this to play out. It's about a minute and a quarter. So I'll be right back. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's listen to this song. God. We do serve a mighty God, folks. We just have to understand that we serve him. He is there for us. He'll serve us, and he'll take care of us if we allow him. Before the message is done today, and we only got seconds to go, I just want you to know, one of you for coming out and listening. Please go find me on William Preacher Bill Barnes over on Facebook. Leave a message for me. I'll be back there after next week. And I'll look for your messages. God bless you, and thank you for being here. Catch up with you next week. Enjoy your week. God bless you.